Now live from Everbank Field, 1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
All right, welcome aboard. Happy Thursday. Glad you're with us. We're live at Everbank Field. That's where Dan Hicken is headed. Actually, the Florida Blue practice fields. Jags on the field right now for OTAs day six, wrapping up week two of OTAs. And we put Johnny O on assignment. Actually, he's going to his kid's graduation. So we're going to check in with Brian Sexton from the practice field. Brian's going to pop in about 15 minutes. We'll talk a little OTAs with you here. And hopefully, if things go well, when practice wraps up today, one of the rising young members of the Jaguar defense, linebacker Telvin Smith, will join us here in studio to talk about how things are going in his first real NFL offseason at this point in time, Tony. You know, I heard these guys debating the Russell Wilson question yesterday. We touched on that. I don't think it's at all likely. I'm not saying, look.
Well, he's saying he's going to play.
He's right. I just can't see quarterbacks in particular looking for that new contract. I guess that's one way to do it, is to withhold your services, but it just seems like a quarterback needs to be involved in so many things that it's a tough position to be in. Do you hurt yourself? It's not a position, I don't think, like, you know, if you're a defensive end or a running back and you hold out and you miss a month, you miss training camp, you show up, the timing is not as critical at those positions. Those are more, I can show up and perform. I think it's a tough position because you want to use the leverage if you have it, but at the same time, you know, part of being a quarterback is being immersed in the team and the leadership and all that, those things. At least those are the things that the NFL preaches these days. So, you know, he's going to play, like you said, and ultimately it'll probably work out for Russell Wilson. Even if he gets hurt this year, what are the odds he actually suffers a career-ending type injury?
Very, very low.
Very slim, right? Yeah. And let's say he does tear his ACL. Well, that's certainly an interesting position to find himself in. I can't believe Seattle wouldn't want to re-sign him, even with a torn ACL.
Well, do you know what their quarterback depth chart looks like right now?
I'm assuming Tavares Jackson, and that's it, right?
I don't even see Tavares Jackson on
this BJ depth Daniels, chart right now. They just switched to receiver, I think, right?
Yeah. according to our lads right now, their depth chart is Russell Wilson, B.J. Daniels, R.J. Archer.
Then R.J. Archer is their only other quarterback, because I just heard that yesterday that they switched B.J. Daniels to another position. I think it's receiver.
Yeah,
is what they did.
Look,
is
this is
the kid
guy
who played at South Florida.
Yes.
Okay.
You know, this is a guy who's been to back-to-back Super Bowls that's going to get paid $1.5 million this year. I mean, look, I get that Seattle wants to do the right thing for their team, and we're not going to overpay for blah 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 blah. Look, this is a 26-year-old guy who's taking you to back-to-back Super Bowls. You can say how great the defense was and everything else that was around him, right? Well, you've paid everybody else. Everyone else is getting paid now. Your quarterback, who is at least towards the center of the pieces of your team right now, is getting paid $1.5 million this year after going to back-to-back Super Bowls. That it's out of whack.
Yeah, it's out of whack, but we know what it is. It's timing, right? Is Cam Newton worth more money than all these other guys who is now making more money than? Not all of them, right? But
no.
he's the guy whose turn it was to come up. Russell Wilson's going to have his turn, and that's the debate. If Seattle felt, I think, that they were going to pay him like the contract that Cam Newton had, and just, I think it'd be done by now. I really do. I don't think necessarily Russell Wilson wants to set the market and squeeze every last dollar out there, but I get the feeling, Tony, that their question is, how much of it, you know, how much of our success is directly Russell Wilson? How much of it is we've had Russell Wilson economically, we've been able to afford these other guys? How much of it is we provide him with a great running game and a great defense, and therefore it's not all on his shoulders, and you want to pay the guy, but you just don't want to write him a blank check either. He is worth more than $1.5 million, but it's the circumstances. Hey, Russ, grow 3 inches. Go back in time and grow 3 inches, and you wouldn't be a third-round pick, right? I mean, it's just,
I guess.
It's not his fault. It's not their fault. It's just the way it is.
No, but he's been successful.
Like, he has.
You pay the guys who have been successful in the league. And look, I get from the team perspective everything that they've said, why they're being careful with this deal. The truth is, Russell Wilson does deserve to get paid as well as Cam Newton. He does. He's earned that with what he's done on the field in the National Football League. Russell Wilson deserves to get
paid every bit
as good as Cam Newton.
They may not feel that way. That, I mean, what's the holdup?
If Russell Wilson has a sense that the team doesn't feel like he's worth the same as Cam Newton or some of these other guys, Ryan Tannehill, then he needs to sit out.
But they'd give him a Ryan Tannehill contract, I think, right now. I think.
But that's kind of the point. If Russell feels like the team doesn't view him that way, then he needs to be talking about sitting out.
And what will that get him?
Eventually, it may get him out of Seattle.
But
if he feels that way, then he needs to be talking about this a different way than he is right now. I don't think that they feel that way. I think that they're trying to figure out whatever the number's going to be, and that if they have to play 2015 with Russell Wilson at $1.5 million, they don't have an issue with it. Russell and his camp isn't going to push the issue, which it doesn't sound like they are, then they're going to be completely fine with doing it that way.
Even if he feels like he's worth that money, I don't think necessarily the only prerogative is to say, I'm going to withhold my services from you. You're 26 years old. You got a team. You got a chance to build your legacy. You got a chance to go to the Super Bowl. The worst case scenario for Russell Wilson is to play for $1.5 million this year and then get franchise tag next year, which would be over $20 million.
Yeah.
Right? And then what? Play under a guaranteed $20 million roughly at the quarterback position, and then what? Get franchised again, potentially, and now you've made $40 million over the next couple of years. He's going to get money. He's going to get plenty of money when it's all said and done. You don't have many chances as a quarterback to win championships. I think, you know, what is that worth? What is that worth to his marketability? You know, Russell Wilson's going to be fine for money either way. Like I said, barring a season-ending, career-ending type injury, which I think, the chances are pretty slim, to be quite frank. Yeah, he's a quarterback. Anybody can get hurt. It can happen to anybody. It can happen walking across the street. I don't think there's a particular risk to a guy who's proven he knows how to avoid contact seemingly as well as any quarterback, particularly one who runs with the ball as much as he does.
No, in my sense, because of what Russell Wilson is saying, is that the two sides are a lot closer than we think they are right now, as far as what the value is. Because if they weren't, then I don't think Russell Wilson should be saying, yeah, I'm just going to play this year under the contract that I'm under. I'm not saying that if he made the threat that I'm willing to not play this year, if that's the contract I'm going to be under, that he means it. That doesn't mean that I think that he's not going to play football in 2015. I think if he felt like he was being, in my opinion, disrespected by the organization to the point of saying, no, we don't think you're worth anywhere near that type of money, and if the two sides weren't anywhere close on whatever was going on, then his side of the conversation needs to be different than it is right now. My sense of the situation is that they are close because Russell Wilson isn't handling things that way.
The word of the modern sports era, disrespected. Oh, my gosh. Don't have a different evaluation of my worth because that's just disrespectful. Oh, players love to play the card. We're not going to talk much more about Russell Wilson today, but we will talk about your Jacksonville Jaguars. You never know if you're going to have a good question, if it's going to be popular, if it's going to hit it off. Tony, the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships fan feedback spotlight question of the day today. Ask if you could own one Jaguar jersey for 2015. A lot of you are jersey wearers out there. A lot of you have multiple jerseys. We've also heard from some who said, I don't wear jerseys. I'm an adult. Okay? Hey, whatever suits your fancy. If you could own one for 2015, which one are you representing? Either one of a guy that you feel like has already made it, maybe one that's an up-and-comer. Who's the one jersey you're rocking for 2015 from your Jacksonville Jaguars? Share your thoughts with us on that. I threw it out there. We're kind of stumped a little bit today, to be quite frank with you. Not a whole lot of newsy news going on with OTAs happening right now. And so we threw that out there. It's been an overwhelming response in the early going. Somebody had a good suggestion on Twitter for something to do in the near future. We'll bring that up and maybe take your pulse on that and see what you think about it. We'll explain as we go along today. We've got Brian Sexton coming up. Your longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars will join us next. Get an OTA report with Brian. Also coming up today, Mike Sando from ESPN.com and NFL Nation at ESPN did a re-ranking of the top 25 players in last year's draft. Not taking the top 25 picks, but who are the top 25 draft picks looking back now on 2013? How would you rank the top 25 guys coming out of that draft? We'll tell you if and where Blake Bortles fell on the list, and a couple of guys that were thought to be maybe ticketed for the Jaguars doing quite well in those rankings. We'll get to that coming up a little bit later on. As I mentioned, Telvin Smith expected to join us today after practice wraps up in about an hour and a half. Jags on the practice field right now. We'll get to all that coming your way here on a Thursday morning live from Everbank Field. I'm Mike Dempsey. He's Fat Tony. This is Jaguars Today on 1010 XL 92.5 FM. All right, is this from leftovers from the top five trending on Twitter from early this morning on the drill?
No, it's not. This is us.
What do we got?
This is from an old commercial. It's called Let the Drummer Kick. Take a listen.
Oh, is that right? By the way, it's Acura is my car commercial.
Oh.
Saw it again last night. You can't get away from it. It's not da-da-da, at least this version. It is totally ya-ya-ya. So, what can I tell you? Important questions left over lingering from yesterday's program. Jaguars Today, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined by the longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Mr. Brian Sexton.
I think they're playing this out on the practice field.
They may be, right?
All pops and buzzes to me, but yeah.
I don't often hear this coming from your office right next
No,
door.
No.
If it is, it's usually JP.
I've got both kinds of music in my office, country and Western.
Both kinds. Yeah, I got you covered, man. I hear you. You know, we were just talking a moment ago. OTAs are a funny thing. They're all we have. You know, we want football so much. We do the show year round. It's football, football, football. There's an appetite for it out there. So we tend to overemphasize things sometimes. But Tony's made the point, hey, last year at OTAs, we tried to downplay Allen Hearns. Look how great but he's an undrafted rookie. Come on, guys shine in OTAs. So you never really know, right? I mean, there are times guys look like stars in OTAs and it holds up, and there are other times you're like, poof, it disappeared. And I guess there's a little bit of an art in discerning which is which. When a guy's got a track record, though, like a Julius Thomas coming in, and he gets the rave reviews after a couple of weeks, you tend to believe those more.
He's been everything they could have hoped for to this point. He has made some catches where you shake your head. We haven't seen those sorts of playmakers on the field since Fred and Jimmy. I mean, it's sad, but it's true that they have not had those kinds of players around here. And so now, the interesting thing has been watching Mercedes go up and make the tough catches over the middle. Not that Mercedes didn't or couldn't before, but all of a sudden here's Julius with a great catch, and now here's Mercedes with a great catch. And the reality of it is that Thomas not only comes in here as a top playmaker, but he lifts the bar. He had $9 million, well spent.
Yeah, and we were talking about this as well on the break. Vinny Iyer, the Sporting News, did a story on overrated, underrated players. I think it was last week Tony and I talked about it. And you have to pick something. It was overrated and underrated, or maybe best and worst acquisition.
Best and worst move of the offseason.
That's what it was. Okay, best and worst move of the offseason. Nothing at all like I just
described. So a tight end who has 24 touchdowns in the last 2 years.
He was the worst move.
Right? Well, it's been a great offseason for the Jaguars.
Exactly. And, the contention was they overpaid him. I'm like, okay, it's a big salary cap number, it's possible to overpay guys. I didn't think it was anything grossly overpaid, and they got all kinds of cap space.
Vinny needs to, A, come to Jacksonville.
Come on down.
Right, come watch training camp. Number two, remember that a small market like this without a proven quarterback is going to have to overpay to entice a guy like that to come down here, right? I mean, Blake Bortles in and of himself, you look at him, you go, well, that's promising. Right?
Sure.
But you're going to have to give this guy a contract that pays him like he's going to remain the top tight end in the league.
Well,
and so it's not overpaying.
If you're just looking at his numbers from last year and you're Julius Thomas, you're like, hey, you know, guy struggled, right? I mean, that's the nature of most rookie quarterbacks. So I grant what you're saying. You get a chance to work with him, maybe you feel differently.
Oh, I'm not saying that you can't be excited about it. What I'm saying is that he can't be excited sitting in Denver looking at a
young
quarterback.
That's what I'm saying. No, I agree with you. That you look at it from the outside. Julius Thomas is working on Sundays. He's not watching every game. He's not following the development of these guys. Speaking of the development of number five, however, you know, these mechanical things and tightening up motions, I'm sure there's something to it because guys like Tom Brady continue to go to Tom House and work with a guy like that. But we've seen other guys, Leftwich, Tebow, other guys with exaggerated difficulties in their delivery, never really be able to get that out.
Byron never went. Jack Del Rio tried to convince Byron to go see Tom House, and Byron wanted nothing to do with it.
Right, but didn't he spend one summer really talking about trying to speed up his delivery, and then into training camp, and it just goes right back to what it always was.
And see, it's got to become muscle memory. And so the important part was that Blake went out there on his own, and then stayed out there and worked with his receivers. And you can see the results of it now, right? They're in their underwear. They're running around in shorts and T-shirts. There's no pressure. He's not going to get hit. And so when you look at the ball, it's a tighter spiral. When you look at his footwork, again, right, layperson here, I've been doing it for 22 years, but I've never coached it. You see the footwork, and it looks smooth.
So you can see a little bit of a difference.
Oh, you can see it right now, for sure, but we've got to wait and see. And I'm not even talking August or September. Where is he in October? Has that become muscle memory? Because that's what broke down last year. We knew coming in that his fundamentals needed work, but they broke down, right? So they weren't even complete, but they broke down last year. Can he keep it going in October and November? And John Osher's probably told you this. He's told me this multiple times, that Peyton Manning would stay out on the field and work on his fundamentals one day a week during practice, or pardon me, following practice, 30, 45 minutes. He's just working on footwork, just working on the muscle memory. Well, hopefully Blake has learned that that's what it takes to get it done. Going out to California tells me he probably has.
Brian Sexton here with us, Jaguars today in studio at Everbank Field. Brian, you look at this rookie class coming in, obviously a big blow when they lose Dante Fowler Jr. before things even really get started. But there's been some positive buzz around T.J. Yeldon. Again, within the framework of non-contact practices and OTAs, as far as this entire rookie class goes, good and bad, has anything caught your eye?
Well, Yeldon is a smooth athlete. I mean, he is a very smooth, he accelerates well. Obviously, they're very well coached at Alabama. And I watched a lot of him because Alabama was always on. So I'm excited to see him. Rashad Greene has terrific hands, runs precise routes. I mean, everyone wants to make a comparison. The one I go back to is Keenan McCardell. McCardell was never going to blow you away by blowing right by you. But, man, did he run precise routes. And this kid runs precise routes. And I think Jerry Sullivan alluded to that on draft day when they brought him in. Other than that, I mean, it's so hard to tell until I can't tell about Michael Bennett or A.J. Cann.
Right.
Although, both of those guys look like what they do. Cann's a power player at left guard who's going to push Zane Beatles. And Bennett's a three technique who is going to spell Cindric Marks in that rotation. And so, it looks like they do what they do. It's a terrific draft class. Can I go back real quick? It's a blow to lose Dante Fowler, no doubt. Not having your top pick, not having the third pick in the draft does not make you better. But I had somebody, I actually did a Bulgarian national television interview.
Of course, right? You did.
Yep. Okay. That's the NFL. And, the guy made the point, it's such a crushing blow. It's not a crushing blow. This whole season is about Blake Bortles. You want the numbers? Last year averaged 15.4 points a game. You look at Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, the top quarterbacks averaging 29, 30 points a game, Aaron Rodgers. This team averaged 15.4. But I wanted to take it a step further, so I took away all the superfluous points. Anything scored by the defense, and anything after the Jaguars had fallen behind by 14 points, right? You take that, 11.4 points a game, right? Now, how are you going to win in the NFL at 11 points a game? You can't, which means that Julius Thomas is not overpaid because you need a weapon, but this whole season comes down to whether Blake Bortles becomes the quarterback that they believe he's capable, or at least takes a big bite out of that
step
apple.
In that direction.
That's
right.
It. So you can Dante Fowler's loss is not going to crush this team this year.
If he followed the Ryan Tannehill model, I'd be ecstatic with that. By year three, 27 touchdowns, 12 interceptions, be fantastic.
Well, that would be a Jaguars record.
Absolutely, which is stunning in and of itself in today's era of modern football, that is still
your
such
man
a
David Garrard has at 25. Mark Brunell only ever threw 20.
I know. And it boggles the mind.
And
honestly,
he had Jimmy Smith and Keenan McCardell.
I know. And it's not like they didn't fall behind in some games, particularly
early on. Of course,
Fred
Taylor scored a lot of touchdowns around
here, too.
He did.
And the rest of those running backs that they had in the late 90s as well. What's the biggest thing that's going to help Blake, though? Is it young wide receiver core maturing? Is it the addition of Julius Thomas? Or is it the better protection that we're at least expecting to come up front?
Well, I'm a big guy, right? So if you fix the offensive line and give him an opportunity to have an extra second with the ball in his hands, or if you've got guys who can road grade and create more running lanes, that's always good. But I'll be real specific and say that Julius Thomas will move the chains. And when you fall behind, right, I mean, a young quarterback like that doesn't always learn to throw the ball away on first and 10, right? He's thinking, I've got to get to second and 6. And so if you've got a guy out there who he knows he can convert second and 10 or third and 6 because he's got Julius Thomas and Mercedes Lewis, right? I mean, Mercedes Lewis should be a third down guy for you, too. So now you've got Julius Thomas out there who's moving the chains and keeping you from panicking on first down, but from not being afraid to throw the ball away instead of, taking the sack because you're trying to extend the play. I think Julius Thomas makes a huge impact because that's one thing that Bortles can feel comfortable. He knows he's got. Maybe Allen Robinson becomes that, but right now he knows he's got Julius Thomas, and it's clear that he knows that Julius Thomas is going to be that guy.
We've got Telvin Smith joining us coming up in about a little over an hour. He's a fun guy.
Love him.
Great personality. To me, he's just always going to be one of these guys that we're going to be talking about. Can he pack on a few more pounds? I don't think he's going to blow up and be 240 one day, and that is okay. You know, if he can hold up. What have you seen from? What are you expecting in year two? I guess out of Telvin Smith,
sacks, interceptions, fumble recoveries.
Big plays.
He's a playmaker. It's what he does. That guy runs like the wind. I mean, he's like a deer. I mean, you see a deer running, and you realize that's nature, right? Perfected. Those things run. This guy is a deer on the football field. He is so efficient in the way that he moves, and he's so instinctual. See, that's the thing. He's going to watch the tape, and he's going to understand what's unfolding in front of him. And you have that kind of athleticism, you can really make impact plays. 225 may be the extent of the weight that he ever gains. You might not want him that much bigger because it might take away some of that natural explosiveness. But as long as he can hold up, you know, from the guards and from those guys, the big tight ends that get out and get a body on him, if they can catch him, he looks to me like he is a breakout player. Pete Prisco mentioned him. He looks like he's going to be terrific. Now, I'm excited about him in particular just because he gets it. He understands, Mike. You know, you've seen him. You've talked to him. You understand. He gets what it takes to be a pro. And he's already in his second year playing the part.
Linebacker, though, obviously, if you get an injury at the quarterback position, that's going to hurt any team more than anything in the National Football League. But is linebacker the position group where they can least afford injuries?
Well, they've got three. You know, that's it. I mean, you could talk about Leroy Reynolds being a guy who can play a couple of different positions, and he can. But
to what level?
Yeah, that's it. I mean, we saw last year when, you know, JT Thomas was the guy who went out and played the auto position more often because he's more suited to it. You know, Leroy might always be your best fifth linebacker. And I, you know, this is my evaluation, right? I don't know what they think. You don't have a lot of linebackers. And last year, in the two games against the Texans in week 14 and week 17, the Texans ran 43 times and 39 times in what were close games at the half. Jaguars led 13-10 here, trailed 14-10 there. And, you know, you thought, well, maybe they can make something happen. But the Jaguars couldn't stop the run, and they missed Posluszny. He was the finisher there. So if you don't have that, the ability to stop the run with a guy like a Posluszny, you're in trouble. It doesn't matter how many big guys you have up front. Their job is to take on the blockers. You got to have Posluszny to come clean it up. I don't want to put that much pressure on Paul, but, you know, he's a 30-year-old linebacker. But
with a pretty significant history of injuries.
They need him. They need him in the warfare. He looks terrific. Physically, he looks terrific.
Always does.
Oh, yeah. Exactly.
He's always prepared. He's always in tip-top shape.
Top professional. He understands what he's got in front of him as well. He knows what an Audric brings. He understands leverage and where to go and how to get around guys. He's a smart guy who can prolong his career because he's that intelligent football-wise. And I didn't mean to emphasize that. He's intelligent all around, but football-wise, he gets it. So, yeah, you're right. Linebacker is an area where they're going to be looking when the waiver wire starts hitting for some veterans who can come in here and be dependable.
You follow Brian on Twitter, at Jags Voice. So what do you have coming up on Jaguars.com in the near future?
That editorial that I told you about that is coming up today. Well, no, this is a different one. I have an editorial in today's ITJ about competition. You know, it's coach speak. Just coach speak for most of the part. At this time of year, every coach in the league is talking competition. But for the first time in a long time, since maybe 2007, they've got real competition at almost every position. And it's fun to watch. And if you've been out there, and I know you guys have, you've seen where you're like, yeah, what do they have there? Now they've got it. They've got guys all over the field. They've got to develop still, but the competition will make them better.
Yeah, speaking of coach speak, we found it funny the other day. Gus referred to, who did he refer to as solid?
Stephen Morris.
Stephen Morris has done a solid job in some areas, and he immediately goes, well, if you know me, that means, you know, he's probably not getting it done. Something like that. It's so funny, you know, that
he's so honest. He's so transparent.
And I think he may have even gone a little far in that instance.
You know, when I say solid, I mean need some work.
Right.
Solid means, why did you have to ask me that question? Because I don't have anything really positive
because
to say.
Because we've already decided we're writing that story today, Gus, and we need a quote from you on that. All right, Brian Sexton, check him out on Jaguars.com, on Bulgarian TV, and sometimes right here with us in studio.
I can't speak it, but
today.
I can do it.
Thanks, Brian.
See you guys.
We'll see you, man. Brian Sexton, your longtime voice of your Jacksonville Jaguars here, weighing in on what he's seen so far out at OTAs, and he's headed right back out there this morning, folks. And a little over an hour from now, we hope one coming the other direction, Telvin Smith, will stop in studio here with us on 1010XL 92.5 FM. All right, coming up, we'll take a look at the text line. the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. You can text the show at 641-1010, as you know that, and phone lines open to you right now at that same number as well. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL, Fat Tony. Question of the day, if you could only own one Jaguar jersey for 2015, whose would you choose to represent when you go to Jag games or the sports bar, or however it is you take in your Jaguar football or just going around town? We'll get to some of those replies coming up on the text line. Also, take a look at Mike Sando's article on ESPN.com on restacking the NFL draft from last year. Who are the top 25 players to have out of last year's draft with a year to think about it? We'll get to that coming up next on 1010XL 92.5 FM. I don't know if we'll get to it today. Interesting series of excerpts from Letters from Hell, Lawrence Phillips. Last we heard of him, Tony, was suspected of murdering his cellmate.
Suspected.
Well, they haven't charged him yet on this one.
I think you got to rule out suicide, and then you got your man.
Right. If he didn't kill himself, he's in a cell with one other dude. Who might it have been? I don't know.
Unless you got inmates running around after hours.
And according to Lawrence Phillips, that may be the case in prison. But it's an interesting series of letters to some of his former coaches that were published in USA Today. I hope they got Lawrence's permission. I'm talking about the coaches. You don't want him to murder you or something like that, allegedly.
Probably not.
You don't want that to happen. So we may get to that coming up. Hindsight, Tony, they say, is 2020. Only if your memory's good, by the way, you know, because otherwise, you know. Anyway, moving on. Mike Sando, NFL insider for ESPN.com, did a story where he re-ranked the top 25 players in the 2013 draft class. Now, who are the two guys most commonly projected to go to the Jacksonville Jaguars last year? Sammy Watkins, Khalil Mack, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I mean,
was the debate by the time we got to draft day.
When it came down to draft day, 90% of observers last year would have named one of those two guys.
Clowney's gone. It would be a miracle if he fell to us at three.
Correct.
So we'll see which of these guys we get.
We're going to get one of these guys. It'll be one of those guys for sure. That seemed to be the case. Had they gone that way, apparently Mike Sando would have liked that. Here's the thing. Had they gone that way, who knows what would happen at the quarterback position, right? As Dave Caldwell told us immediately after the draft and has reiterated since, well, we thought about, okay, what happens if we take the wide receiver here? I think it would have been more likely they would have gone Sammy Watkins. Let's say they took Sammy Watkins there. Okay, then what? Well, what do we do for a quarterback? Is one going to be available to us because we feel like we have to get one of these guys out of this group in this year's draft, and we don't want to be in a position where we have to trade back up into the end of the first round and give away. We need too many things to do that. So let's just take the quarterback we like best here, and let's try to address the wide receiver position, which was deep last year. And that played out. It was deep. So we know why they went the way they did. In Mike Sando's re-ranking of the 2014 NFL draft class, he took the input of various NFL evaluators. I'm assuming, you know, scouts, film guys, pro personnel directors, that kind of thing. Khalil Mack's the top guy on his board. Ryan O'Halloran scoffs at him. Nobody else does, really. He said Mack validated his top five status with a promising rookie season. The Raiders expect him to spend less time in coverage and more time rushing the passer this season. He has talked about how he expects his sack total to explode this year. But everything, typically you don't get a guy, even with pass rush ability, who comes in and lights the league on fire and gives you double digits the first year, necessarily, right? Quickly, they can get up to speed, and we've seen guys like Robert Quinn, J.J. Watt explode in year two and beyond.
Sure.
Maybe that'll be the case with Khalil Mack. Sammy Watkins jumping ahead to him, despite the fact that he played through some injuries last year, came in number four, which has pretty much held his position based on the way things played out last year. Now, it's interesting to me, you look down, Jadeveon Clowney, Tony, I don't think is on this list anywhere.
Yeah, he is. He's 10.
Is he 10? Did I skip right past him?
Yeah, he's got him at 10.
It's still 10. It says Clowney's obvious talent made in the top overall pick. His inability to stay on the field amplifies concerns about whether he'll produce consistently. Well, up until now, right? I mean, certainly there are concerns with that. If you redid the draft right now, would Jadeveon Clowney get outside the top 10? Would he fall that far?
I highly doubt it.
I doubt it, right? I kind of doubt it myself. We'll go through some of the rest of these guys and where they all fall in, but let me jump ahead and cut the suspense if you haven't read the article. Is Blake Bortles in the top 25? Well, yes, he is. But first, you get a couple of other quarterbacks. No great surprise based on their rookie seasons and comparing them to Blake. But it's a little bit of a surprise to me. As much national love has been adorned on Teddy Bridgewater, that they Sando actually ranks Derek Carr ahead of him. And again, this is based on conversations with NFL evaluators, he says. The stats say Carr was ineffective as a rookie, but most of the coaches and evaluators I've consulted favored him over the other 2014 rookie quarterbacks based on his maximum potential that he's got. If they all maxed out, here's where we think Derek Carr would be. He's got him as the 11th overall guy right behind Clowney. He's got Bridgewater one spot behind. Said Bridgewater generally impressed during his rookie season with Minnesota. One recurring question from evaluators, though, is whether Bridgewater is better than average in any one area and what that means for his future.
Okay.
I think that's fair, though,
yeah.
Right? I mean, like, you look at all these guys. What would you say? What is Tom Brady better than average at?
Accuracy.
I think accuracy.
I think his ability to read a defense is pretty high.
I think his pocket presence,
right?
You know, the subtle movements, right? So
yeah.
You look at it and you're like, he doesn't have the biggest arm in the world.
No.
Right? You don't have, it doesn't necessarily have to be that. But Bridgewater's kind of, he's good in just about everything. Is he exceptional in anything? I think that's the question they're asking. So we go down to Blake Bortles. Blake just snuck in at number 25, which, quite frankly, is not based on the numbers that he put up last year. Not all these teams are watching film of the Jaguars if they're not playing them, right?
No.
And they're not going back and just studying for studying's sake. Let me see how Blake Bortles did. Let me look behind the numbers. The numbers weren't good. 11 touchdown passes, 17 interceptions last year. This is what he said about Blake. He said the Jags seem higher on Bortles than others. Based on the evaluators I spoke to, there's an argument that Garoppolo belongs here instead. We might have an answer come September. Look, Jimmy Garoppolo may turn out to be phenomenal, right? He looked good in the preseason last year, but that's all he did was play in the preseason. Some mop-up kind of
stuff. By the way, so did Blake Bortles.
Looked good in the preseason.
Blake Bortles was really good in the preseason last year.
Absolutely, right. So you get into the real thing, it's not necessarily going to be as smooth a transition. I think that's a lot of people, I don't know if they're trying to be provocative, get ahead of the curve. They may be right about Garoppolo in the long term, but I don't know what you base that on. You're not seeing what he's doing on a daily basis in practice in New England. And, okay, he may have to start the season at quarterback. That's out of necessity, not out of desire, because of a looming suspension for Tom Brady. So on the one hand, based on the numbers, I'm a little bit surprised he made the top 25 at all.
Right.
Right?
I mean, he's the lowest rated quarterback in total QBR, according to ESPN, among the qualified passers.
Guys who threw enough, played enough to qualify.
He's 30th out of 30 among the qualified passers.
And so, but then to say that there's an argument that Garoppolo belongs here, and say, well, sure, there's an argument. But I think the argument's based on a lot more guesswork than anything, as far as that goes. Let me rip through the top 25. As I mentioned, started with Khalil Mack at the top, which a lot of people, I think, instinctively would say Odell Beckham Jr. would be the guy because he had such big numbers. He does quite well. Aaron Donald comes in number two. Aaron Donald was a beast in college, a little bit undersized, continued to be a beast in the pros in his rookie year with the St. Louis Rams, the defensive tackle out of Pitt. I said some evaluators think his relatively small stature for the position, defensive tackle, pushed down his stock in the draft, but teams would have a hard time passing him up if given another shot. Beckham Jr. comes in at number three, Sammy Watkins at four, C.J. Mosley, the Alabama linebacker, went to Baltimore last year, comes in at five. We spent a minute talking with Brian Sexton on the break about Ozzie Newsome's track record on finding guys. They don't miss on too many of those
early
round guys. I mean, you're going to miss on some. Nobody's perfect, but he hits at a higher percentage than most GMs out there. Anthony Barr, another guy who very early in 2014, right? In January, his name was in the conversation more for the Jags. And then one of those things, as it happens, Tony, through osmosis or whatever, his draft stock mysteriously started to slide, right? He went from, could he be the top position player or right behind Clowney in the draft? Remember the conversation, some guys like Barr better than they like Clowney in this draft. He comes in at number six, though. Did have a nice rookie season. Mike Evans, Bucs receiver, came in at number seven. Now you got three receivers off the board in what was an outstanding class of them. Kyle Fuller, Bears cornerback at eight. Zach Martin, the Cowboy guard, at nine. That just goes to show you, stick with your football evaluations. Emotion might have dictated they draft Johnny Manziel. They take Martin, who was seen as a boring pick, and he was considered not only in the top 10 among rookies last year. Pete Prisco had him ranked in the top 100 players in his recent rankings on CBSSports.com in the entire league. Mentioned Carr and Bridgewater. Kelvin Benjamin, former Florida State receiver, comes in at 13, and he went 28th in the draft, comes in at 13 with the Carolina Panthers. Brandon Cooks right behind him, had the injury to his hand last year that interrupted his rookie year. He's expected to maybe be the lead receiver for New Orleans this year. Ha-ha Clinton Dix at 15. Taylor Lewan, the Titans tackle, at 16. Juwan James, the Miami tackle, at 17. Keeping in mind, not all these guys are first-round picks. Jake Matthews, the Atlanta tackle, at 18. Jake Matthews is the safest player in the draft, right? There is no such thing as the safest player in the draft. Jarvis Landry, I believe, was a third-round pick. And they point out, despite only averaging 9 yards per catch because he played out of the slot last year, Pro Football Focus ranked him 16th in cumulative wide receiver grading. Joel Bitonio, guard for the Browns, at 20. Jeremy Hill, Bengal running back at 21. Greg Robinson, another top 10 pick for the Rams at 22. Devontae Adams, the Packer wide receiver, at 23. And then Eric Ebron, the tight end for Detroit, at 24, one spot ahead of Bortles. So, you know, it's just 1 year in. None of that really matters, but it's just interesting because Sando does talk to guys around the league.
Yeah.
And that, to me, is the interesting part, that there's at least some conversation out there. Not only did the Jags not get the best quarterback in the first round between he and Bridgewater and, topping him, Bridgewater topping him, but then not only Derek Carr, but possibly Garoppolo, some would favor over Bortles given the choice right now. Doesn't matter. Jags have hitched their wagon to Blake. And as long as he plays well, Mike Sando's opinion or any evaluator's opinion is not going to matter. Let's go put some points on the board. But, boy, those were some depressing numbers Brian was running out there about the offensive output last year. I don't know, though, how much you can look at and say, let's throw out the points you scored after falling behind 14-0. This team was bad. They're probably behind by 14 points in a number of games. I don't know if you just discount that entirely because you're in more of a pressure situation to drive the ball down the field. But regardless, they got to do a lot better in that category in 2015. All right, we'll take a timeout. This date in football history, the Honda drive around the NFL, coming your way. Telvin Smith expected to join us a little under an hour from now as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history brought to you this week by Bob Roberts, First Coast Roofing. For all your roofing needs, call 287-7756. License number CCC056797. All right, this date in football history, go back to 1974, Tony. The Tampa Bay Bucks at that point had already been awarded an expansion franchise after trying to poach a couple of franchises. They had tried to lure the Bills and the Patriots to come play in Tampa before they upgraded their stadiums. But then they were granted their own franchise, and on this date, June 4th, 1974, the NFL granted the second expansion franchise of the post-merger era to the Seattle Seahawks. Tony, looking at the popular jersey sales as we were a little bit yesterday, the 12th man, the 12th fan, ranked right there around the top 20 for jersey sales. And the number 12 in Seattle just represents the fans. Tony, I will give you $5 American. U.S. currency, if you can name for me the official three colors of the Seahawks current jerseys, the official designations of those colors.
Oh, my gosh.
What are the basic colors? What do you have for the basic?
Blue and silver and green.
Close.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll give them to you because you got no shot. College Navy is blue as opposed to any other Navy.
Right.
College Navy, Action Green.
Action.
Action Green and Wolf Gray. That's what you've got, Wolf Gray, for the Seattle Seahawks uniform.
Should have known the Wolf Gray, because they wore those Wolf Gray uniforms a couple times over the last couple years, and that's what they called them, their Wolf Grays.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Well, that's why they called them that.
Yeah.
There you go. Born on this date in 1987, former Jacksonville Jaguar receiver Mike Thomas, who was dealt to Detroit. Was it Gene Smith who got a draft pick for him? Or
yes.
He did get something for him, right?
Yeah. Got a fourth-round pick, I want to say.
Something like that, right? Which, it was a pretty savvy move, considering after the rest of that season, even though he's been on a couple of preseason rosters, Mike Thomas has never played another snap in the NFL.
Yeah.
So, of course, you also spent, what, a fourth-round draft pick on Mike Thomas? So, maybe... maybe don't spend that pick on him to begin with. I think it was a fourth coming out of Arizona. He was there, the Pac-12 all-time leading receiver at that point in time. But happy 28th birthday to Mike Thomas, the recipient of the Hail Mary from David Garrard.
Yep.
Back in the day, and the most memorable play of his in Jaguar history. Again, that does it for this date in football history. Brought to you by First Coast Roofing, Bob Robertson Company. Called 287-7756. How about a roof for as little as $500? First Coast Roofing could be your answer. That is this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your Jacksonville area Honda dealers.
New Buffalo Bills head coach Rex Ryan was playing in a charity softball game yesterday at Yankee Stadium and was asked about whether he thinks the Bills could be a playoff team this year. It would be the Bills' first playoff appearance since 1999. That is the longest current playoff drought in the NFL. Rex responded simply with, quote, "I think we'll be in this year. I think we will. Yeah, I think we will." Quick trivia question, as I said, Mike. Buffalo has the longest current playoff drought in the NFL. What team has the longest current playoff drought among the four major North American sports leagues, those being Major League Baseball, the NFL, NBA, and NHL?
Glad you had to define those for me. If it's an NHL team, I'm not going to know. Is it an NHL team?
No.
Okay, so let's throw the NHL out. I'm trying to think of a Major League Baseball team. How long is the streak? Do we know how long the streak is? That would help me.
It's been a while.
Give me decades?
Yes. It's been more than 20 years since they made the playoffs.
More than 20 years since this team made the playoffs. Kansas City Royals would have been a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland Browns.
Nope. The Browns, I think, made the playoffs like 2002. They had a one-year run there. The Toronto Blue Jays. The last time the Blue Jays were in the playoffs, Joe Carter walked it off.
It's funny because the Toronto ran through my head, and I thought, nah, that's probably not it.
Yeah, 1993.
Okay, so that's the longest in North American pro sports, or the second longest in North American pro sports. How was it?
It was
the Bills are the longest in the NFL. The Blue Jays have the longest in
North American sports. Yeah, fantasy football nugget. In case you weren't paying attention to the Baltimore Ravens, they've replaced offensive coordinator Gary Kubiak, who is now the head coach in Denver, with Mark Trestman. Justin Forsett, whom the Ravens brought back this offseason and had a career year last season under Kubiak, is a reliable pass catcher out of the backfield. And running backs and Trestman led offenses tend to be fed the ball in the passing game quite a bit. It's just a quick note. I know it's 2 months before fantasy draft season, but keep that in mind.
Well, they're talking about him catching 90 balls in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And quite frankly, if he stays healthy, there's not a ton of competition on the roster for him. They drafted Buck Allen out of USC, but most people think he's more of a straight-ahead, first and second down type guy. And Matt Forte set the NFL record for receptions by a running back. So
yeah,
for all you point-per-reception league players, take heed. Just the Forsett's probably a second-round pick.
Take note. What's the strangest thing you've ever got signed by an athlete?
Ever got signed by an athlete? Nothing particularly strange that
no?
I can think of. No.
In case you missed the story coming out of Detroit here today, there's a urinal that has been signed by Barry Sanders.
Oh, is that strange?
That's a little strange. Now, it's a urinal that was at the Silver Dome up there that a fan bought. He bought that and a bunch of other stuff that came out of their locker room area, basically. Mike Kozan bought it. He put it up on eBay recently, the signed urinal. He's got bids up in the area of $2,000 right now. The story of how it actually got signed is kind of funny because Barry Sanders, when there were tweets going out about what was being sold from the Silver Dome, right? And among the things that were mentioned on Twitter were the urinals. Anyone want a stadium seat or a urinal? Barry Sanders responded directly to that tweet saying, FYI, I am not signing any urinals Right? He actually said that on Twitter. Well, this guy who's been a lifelong Lions fan, he calls the place that's hosting this autograph signing with Barry Sanders and says his girlfriend calls for him and says, hey, we got this urinal. We were wondering if Barry would sign it. They were like, well, bring it on down. We'll see what happens. Right? So he doesn't want to do this. The guy who actually owns this urinal doesn't want to do it. He's being egged on by his girlfriend to go down here and try to get this thing signed. So he's pushing a dolly with a urinal on it through a mall, right, to get to Barry Sanders. He's waiting in line. Everyone's like, what's going on with the urinal? He's like, it's from the locker room, Silver Dome. And they're like, no, okay. So he gets to the front of the line, and Barry looks at him. He says, what do you have? He's like, I got a urinal from the locker room. And Barry walks around, and Barry's like, I refuse. Right? And the guy's like, okay. He's like, the girl says, can you please sign it? He says, all right. So Barry signs the thing, right? And the guy is sweating. As they're leaving the mall, he's like so nervous.
He's trucking around a urinal.
Right. He's sweating as he leaves the mall. The girlfriend is just all kinds of excited. She's like, why are you so upset? Why are you so nervous? He's like, I just asked my childhood hero to sign a urinal. Like, do you not understand how stressful that moment was for me? It's probably the only time in his life he's ever met Barry Sanders.
Probably.
And he's trucking a toilet.
Right.
To get it signed by the guy.
Maybe just a handshake or a thank you, Barry, maybe a picture.
Right.
But he's gonna be more linked to Barry Sanders because of this now.
Sure.
Than any other thing he could have done. And I'm sure there's some metaphor somebody could write about how Detroit peed away the chances win a Super Bowl while
that was part
there.
Of it. It was for Detroit, for the maybe the greatest player in the history of that organization to sign a toilet for a fan is something else
right.
Considering.
We don't have any replica Lombardi trophies for you. Sorry.
Right.
Sorry about that. All right. Well, hey, whatever works for you, whatever gets you in front of Barry Sanders is, I guess, the purchase of the urinal. What did he pay for it?
He paid not much for the urinal.
So he's trying to sell it for $2,000 now?
It's on eBay. The auction is up to close to $2,000 as of this morning.
Which is honestly why guys don't want to sign weird stuff.
Yeah.
And you know,
apparently he had been hanging the toilet in his man cave for a while.
If you're going to do that, if you're going to be like, hey, I got this toilet in my man cave, what's the story? Okay, there's a story behind it. I got Barry Sanders to sign it. That's pretty cool. I know, far be it from me to tell you to turn down the money for it, but that's why guys are going to be like, I know it's going to end up on eBay. And,
yeah.
You know, but, you know, a lot of times you go to those signings, you pay to have one item signed, whatever that item happens to be. If Barry refuses to sign the urinal, so be it, but it could have been anything else. It could have been some other thing that he would end up putting on eBay.
Sure.
Because that's what you do.
Barry Sanders has apparently changed his policy since the signing of the urinal that he can refuse any item. Like
that's a new thing.
Yeah, they had a specific list of things that he would not sign. Apparently, I don't know what
now,
that list
now he's
was.
Saying just in case somebody tries to come up with something gross that's not on the list.
Right, that he can refuse anything like that.
Makes sense. Barry Sanders seems like a good guy, but who knows? Nobody knows anybody. You know what I mean?
Sure.
I don't know you.
I mean, I've met him a couple times when we were out at the Super Bowl, and
seems like a nice guy, but who knows?
Certainly does.
You know what I mean?
He is one of those guys. Look, it's Barry Sanders. He walks in the room. And in a room of stars, everybody kind of stops and watches Barry wander around the room.
Yeah, because Barry has a claim to arguably being the greatest to ever play his position. I mean, certainly in the conversation, most people would, I don't know most, but I think Jim Brown would still win the straw poll. But Barry Sanders would probably be number two at worst, I would think, as far as that goes.
Barry's the best I've ever watched. I didn't get a chance to watch Jim Brown. Barry's the best that I've ever seen.
I think Adrian Peterson's in the conversation when he's on top of his game. He's certainly in that conversation as well. All right, one guy who's not in that conversation, Lawrence Phillips, is whiling away his time behind bars, and we can all be glad of that. Recently, just a couple days ago, had a series of letters published in the USA Today to some of his former coaches. We'll look at some of the highlights or lowlights, as the case may be, of that. Telvin Smith, scheduled to join us coming up in about 25 minutes or so stick around for that. Also, take a peek at the fan feedback spotlight today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, asking you if you could only have one Jaguar jersey for 2015, whether that's to just wear around town, wear to the games, whatever, to represent your team if you're a jersey-wearing kind of fan, which player would you choose to have his jersey in 2015? We'll get to some of the responses to that. They're flooding it on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line, which is same as the call-in line, 641-1010. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony here, live at Everbank Field on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. If you're wondering where the ozone went today, he's been such a good job for us with OTA updates. He's headed down to Orlando, O-Town for the ozone.
Yeah.
His son's graduation. I assume his son goes to UCF would be my guess, or a college down there in Orlando, whatever the case may be. Tony, at what point, I don't think this is a brand new phenomenon, but at what point did we start having a graduation ceremony for everything? My kid is leaving fifth grade.
Yeah.
And he had a graduation ceremony this
going
morning.
Going to middle school.
I mean, I don't know how it was when you came up, okay? When I was a young pup.
If I had any of that, I don't remember it.
I went to George Marks Elementary on Garfield Avenue, Garfield Street, one of those, in DeLand, Florida, right around the corner from the homestead.
Mm-hmm.
And we went through sixth grade, okay? From sixth grade, we went on to what was called Southwestern Seventh Grade Center. It was where all the elementary schools from DeLand, mm-hmm, all went to the same school together, but only for 1 year. You kind of got used to, you know, being mixed in with a bunch of people you didn't know, changing classes every period, all that stuff. From there, we went to what we referred to as junior high, which was eighth and ninth grade, the mm-hmm Mighty Terriers of DeLand Junior High.
Right.
And then we went on to high school, which for us was 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. And then we graduated.
Yeah.
When it was all done.
I remember a high school graduation.
Never mind the whole kindergarten thing. Because now you get, like, seriously, my kid's gone through it.
That's an excuse for parents to record something else.
Oh, my goodness. Is that what it is?
I mean,
is
this, can't be anything,
is this
else,
the camcorder lobby having their say here?
Like, I don't doubt that there probably was something in fifth grade, you know, this idea of you're moving on to another school, middle school, whatever, that there probably was something that happened at the school. I certainly don't remember
it. There was no ceremony that I had.
Right. Maybe my parents remember something like that going on. I certainly don't. Middle school, I don't remember anything like that either, but it might have happened.
I got my, I don't know if you'd call it my broadcasting debut, but my, kind of my public speaking debut, mm-hmm, my running my mouth for attention debut, in sixth grade. Mrs. Bing, God bless her, made me the, the host, the MC of the George Marks Elementary School sixth grade talent show.
Hey!
So I got to stand up on stage and tell canned jokes from a joke book. I can still remember like all the performances in that thing too. It's very odd because we practice it every single day. But so I remember that we didn't have any ceremony. My kids already had like three. He had one from kindergarten. He had one. There was one like in first or second grade. They did one. And now in fifth grade, he's doing one, and I'm sure many more to come. I don't know.
Whatever,
but seems like a lot.
No, it does seem like it. That's what I'm saying. It's like, whatever, they want to have a ceremony. Certainly doesn't bother me that they're having one. It just
seems like...
It is unnecessary.
Kinda, right, a little pointless. Let's give them all a ribbon now as well. Hey, here's your reward. It's summer!
Right.
Okay, it's summer! You don't have to go to school anymore.
I know I got my elementary school diploma hanging in my house.
By the way, this was the week he's had so far. They had Water Day, which involves some kind of water games that they play outside all day.
Okay.
They had Field Day, which is basically playing outside.
Like tug of war and all that stuff that day?
Relay races, that kind of stuff. Yesterday was Picnic Day. Picnic Day.
Why was the school open?
Why were they open? Right. It's your tax dollars at work. Send them home a week earlier. Picnic Day. And then today was graduation at 10:30. So I had to drop off at its typical time. We leave the house at 7:15 in the morning.
It's probably the worst day.
And right
for him, this is by far like the
you gotta stand up on stage and get a certificate. Oh, and he wore just his finest t-shirt to the ceremony too. I mean, just absolutely his finest t-shirt.
We had a picnic yesterday. I was running in a relay 2 days ago. I was playing around in a water park at my school.
All these things
on Monday, and today I got to just stand here and have people look at me.
Wow, and it's report card day too. So I think I have a sneak preview.
It's an important day.
Yeah, I think he rallied there. I think he rallied late in the season to do enough to get it done. Good job there, young procrastinator. He's coming up in my image, unfortunately, in that department a little too much. All right, moving on from that. Let me quickly get to this before we get to some of the fan feedback spotlight today. Lawrence Phillips, as we talked about in April, named a suspect in the death of his cellmate at Kern Valley State Prison in California, where he's been locked up for about 8 years, sentenced to 31 years in prison for convictions including domestic violence, spousal abuse, false imprisonment, and vehicle theft. That's where this involved with him trying to run over people at a pickup football game.
Yes.
Too, right? So anyway, he's been in jail for a while. His cellmate, he is suspected of perhaps murdering, but not charged with it yet. So, hey, no big deal. Anyway, wrote a series of letters to some of his former coaches, including former Nebraska assistant coach George Darlington, and just kind of keeping them up and giving you like a look inside what goes on in prison. Now, first of all, I may be way too well-read on what happens in prison.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was described as, Lawrence Phillips describes terrifying situation in letters from prison. I'm thinking, I mean, this isn't, did you see Oz? This is not as bad as some of that stuff. He is currently in, they're in lockdown because one of the guards got attacked. But he basically, in these series of letters, it's weird. He alternates between talking about Nebraska football and then just basically what life is like on a daily basis. He says, I don't have a cellmate. Oh, what a surprise. He killed him, allegedly.
Right.
All these dudes want to use drugs and weapons in the cell. I'm in the process of applying for single cell status. I will let you know how that goes. First step is eliminate the cellmate, apparently, in that. He goes on to say that he will probably have to suffer some write-ups because he has refused a cellmate. How does that work?
Right.
They bring him around, right? He's clutching his blanket and state-issued pillow and his shower slippers, and they say, here's your new cellie.
No. I'm not
playing that.
This guy can't bunk with me.
No. In fact,
you put him in here, I'll kill him.
This is a solo room, right? I will take the write-up, but I will murder him if you put him in there. So
have I not made my point?
So anyway, another time he wrote about being on lockdown. This is all within the last year. Not much happening here. We're still on lockdown because they found a hacksaw in someone's cell. A hacksaw.
Nice.
How do you get a? I mean, we've all seen the cartoons where somebody puts a file in a cake.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get a hacksaw into your cell?
I don't know.
I'm assuming that's coming from, like, some prison industry thing where they're not keeping a very good account of their hacksaws.
Right.
I would think among the implements you would not want a prisoner to have, a hacksaw would be in the top 10 of actual tools.
It'd be pretty high.
Right? I mean, you're like a hoe. Okay, what would you do with a hoe? You could certainly bludgeon someone with it, but it's tough to hide a hoe, right? And you're not going to dig out from the yard using this hoe to escape. With a hacksaw, you think you can be up to a lot of no good things. He said apparently people use the saw to cut up the bunks and make knives. It's completely nuts in here. It's pretty much a free-for-all. And he said basically that all guys do, they do three things. They get high, they make knives, and they make alcohol to, I guess, continue with the getting high or to supplement the getting high on what's going on in there. So I don't think anyone feels sorry for Lawrence Phillips, nor should they. He's in there as he deserves to be. This is funny. He just comments on the Ray Rice stuff. Apparently, maybe he's always been a conservative, but if not, maybe prison made him one. The NFL's going through some stuff. This is in a letter from last September. Unfair to blame the NFL for what guys do. This is Lawrence Phillips weighing in on the social issues of the day. These misdeeds by the players are being used by the liberal parties and the media to further their particular interests. Next up on Fox News, Lawrence Phillips goes behind the story.
That was a pretty well-written sentence.
It really was, right? Next, they will be forcing out owners like they did with the Los Angeles Clippers owner, Donald Sterling. So apparently he's a Sterling supporter, or at least a free speech advocate. In terms of Donald Sterling, as far as that
apparently
goes. Did we talk about the story of Robert Downey Jr., how he did an interview doing publicity for Avengers, and somebody in Great Britain took that opportunity to basically grill him on some comments he made like over a decade ago in some interview, and one of the things he said was, you can't go from being a $2,000 a night hotel suite guy to being incarcerated because, you know, Downey had all kinds of drug issues,
yeah,
to being locked up in the penitentiary and not have that come out and affect your worldview and not have that make you more conservative. Basically, he's saying, I saw, you know, the end result of whether it's, you know, liberal drug laws, whatever, whatever, and my experience in prison made me a more conservative, politically more conservative guy.
Okay.
Okay, fine. It appears, just based on these comments, that maybe Lawrence Phillips has got something in common with Robert Downey Jr.
Apparently.
I'm not sure. Fortunately for Robert Downey Jr., he apparently never bunked with Lawrence Phillips, because we all know he made it out alive.
Put that guy in here with me, I'll kill him.
It's interesting.
Solo room!
Again, there's a lot more harrowing things I've read about life in prison. Look, it's not a place I want to be, whether Lawrence Phillips is there or not, so I'm sure it's awful, but all that's out there. USA Today did that story not too long ago. Let's take a look quickly at some of the fan feedback spotlight today, Tony, asking people to weigh in. I noticed a number of votes for Telvin Smith. For if you could only have one jersey for 2015, whose would you want? Give us some of the feedback we got on Twitter.
Here's what we got from at Irish Jaguar. If I have to pick a player, number 5, Bortles. Otherwise, my own custom 95 Irish Jag. From Jason, I don't wear jerseys. I'm an adult. Hashtag no offense. From Avaro, we got Denard Robinson, please. From Mikey, longtime Jag Scobie. Think he will finish as one of our Jags greats and Ring of Honor. Hashtag Colts killer. Hashtag respect. From Duval West, would love an Aaron Colvin jersey for his remarkable comeback and excellent half season last year. AC gonna be great. From Caleb Allen Robinson. From Duval Doom, he said easy and included a picture of him wearing a 95 Jaguars jersey with Duval Doom written across the nameplate. From Eric, I'd like an Allen Robinson jersey. I think he's going to be really good. From Nick, Josh Scobie, our only offense for years. Can always count on Scobes. Hashtag Scobie for MVP.
All right, got these on the Boston's Restaurant and Sports Bar text line. Ryan Davis jersey, breakout year time. Another one, Ryan Davis 59 jersey. That was from a different texter, TJ Yeldon, getting a vote. Telvin Smith, being a buck nut, I'll get a Michael Bennett jersey. Who else? Let's see what we got here. Denard Robinson with a heavy blue bias. He took one on the chin last night in the ladies softball. Paz jersey last 3 years. Allen Robinson this year, but the fiance is all Blake. Why does that not surprise me? Nick Marshall, War Eagle. So a variety of ones, but certainly some of them mentioning Telvin Smith, who, as I see, people starting to trickle into the building right now. I'm assuming OTA practice just wrapping up. So We're hopeful to come back in a couple of minutes and have Telvin Smith on the line with us. What we've got on the line right now is a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Jacksonville Armada play at Community First Park this Saturday against the Ottawa Fury. You want 4 tickets to go see it Sunday. Check that. You want 4 tickets. All you have to do is call right now at 641-1010. Be caller number 3, and Tyler will hook you up. Tyler the serial killer. We'll weigh in on that before the show is out as well. Tyler, I don't think your haircut's that bad.
They're overblowing it.
Bowles Davis said it made you look like some kind of a psychopath. You just got what's referred to as basically a buzz cut.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, I always get a buzz cut in the summer because it's cheap and your hair's short in the summer. You're not hot.
I get a buzz cut all the time. And maybe I do look like a serial killer. I don't know. But I didn't think you looked bad, but I tweeted out the picture of Tyler's most recent haircut with a scowl on his face.
Well, Bowles Davis has the hairline of a 50-year-old man.
He does have that.
So his commenting on anybody's haircut is ridiculous.
Truly, jealousy is an ugly thing, Bowles Davis. All right, coming back hopefully with Telvin Smith here. It's Jaguars Today live at Everbank on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. Efforting. Is that radio word? When you're waiting, you're just waiting and you don't know if it's going to happen. Telvin Smith, practice is wrapping up right now. We're hopeful we'll grab Telvin for a few minutes before the show wraps up today here on 1010XL. Kevin C. was the winner of the Armada tickets. He gets 4-pack of tickets to Sunday's game. And we're going to have Telvin here in about 30 seconds, I'm predicting, Tony. We're going to have the whole family. I think we got the whole family coming in today, joining us here momentarily. Had a great suggestion, by the way, from one of the tweeters out there on something we can do in the dog days of summer. I'll see if I can get to that.
Yeah.
But let's have him put a headset on and then say hello to second year, now longtime veteran linebacker of your Jacksonville Jaguars, Belvin Smith. How you doing?
Hey, how's it going? I'm good.
You're a popular guy. You know why? One of the ways we know is because we asked today people if you could have just one jersey of any player on this team for 2015, whose jersey would you rock? You got a lot of support there.
I did?
Yeah.
Well, I tell y'all, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate the support, man. I play for y'all. I'm going to keep going and getting better.
It's got to make you feel good, though, right?
It does. You see, I can't stop smiling. I wish I...
You're always like that, though.
I wish I could show the people my smile. That's it. I appreciate it. That's all. It's love.
Who do we have here with us in
That's
the studio today?
That's my son, Zai. That's my daughter, Nala, and my girlfriend, Deshae.
Oh, well, beautiful family right
there. Thank you. I wish I could put them out there, too.
You got Well, that's three more great reasons. The three top reasons to be happy. Yeah. You know, second year here, man. What's the difference been like for you? Last year, everything's, you know, getting ready for the draft, coming in, and you don't know what to expect.
Right.
You got to know a little bit more what to expect this time around, right?
Exactly. I think the expectations of the players is becoming more so, more than anything. I was getting an understanding for the game, a feel for the game, and I think I've grasped it. Of course, we're going to go through different situations and things like that. You're going to learn something every play, but for the most part, I just feel like this year I'm coming in way more loose. I feel more confident in what I'm doing out there as a player individually. But as a team, man, I think we're just coming together, and it's something special. So we're just getting better.
Bob Babich, your defense coordinator, talked the other day about you guys are becoming a faster defense, and not just the speed, how quick you can run, but that you, like you said, you're just reacting.
Exactly.
You're starting to see and you know what to expect.
Exactly.
A little bit more.
Exactly. It's just the confidence. And it's amazing what confidence can do, but at the same time, that comes with studying and growth of the players. We've just as a team put more time into the playbook and got a better understanding of it. So now when we step on the field, we're able to, hey, talk. Me and D-Mac today, it's something that we haven't even installed yet. And we was talking and going through it like, hey, come on. So that just said we're ahead of where we're supposed to be and only getting better.
People are fired up. Telvin Smith here with us, Jaguar linebacker on Jaguars today here on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. For you, what surprised you the most about your rookie season?
What surprised me the most?
Was there something you weren't ready for?
Listen, I was about to say something, but I thought it was kind of...
Hey, listen. I just want to know what he was running through his mind, Tony.
Nah, I can't say that one. But what surprised me the most, I think I didn't think we'd lose as many games as we did. I thought we would actually win more and be a better team. But that was a learning process. Before anything, I feel like that showed us, like, this is not an easy business that we're in. The NFL is really the NFL, and if you don't come out to play, and it's just not on Sundays when you come to play, but you got to put that work in and come together as a team. And I think that's what we're learning. But I think, you know, coming from, you know, people say, oh, you came from Florida State, y'all came undefeated. I wasn't worried about that because this is a different team. We had went through way different things. We got to go through that as this team, but that just losing this many games surprised me.
With it being a surprise, though, you're getting ready for 2015. I know it's really early in this process, getting ready for the season, but how do you feel about what you've seen so far in the first 2 weeks out there with the new guys?
I love it. The new guys are stepping up, a lot of guys. I feel like, obviously, one guy that really kind of, the linebacker has been talking about is Yeldon. I feel like he's going to be a tough runner, definitely a good competitor.
What do you look for that tells you that when you see T.J. Yeldon out there?
It's when we're not in pass and we're trying to strip the ball or things like that, and he keep his feet turning. I mean, we grinding at his arms and trying to get the ball out, but he keep his feet turning. Then when he hit hole, he hits the hole running. And when he get in open field, he gives that burst. And when you see that out of players, you can only imagine what it's like in the game. So it's the small things, but I'm telling you, I feel like he's just going to be a good player.
I know a lot of people were excited with free agency. Dan Scuda was a guy that Mike and I didn't know much about, right? But a lot of the veteran players in this building, we would talk to them, they'd be like, we got Scuda, right? That guy playing out there at that auto position, how has he looked in the first couple days?
Well, for me, it was like you said, when they said we had Scuda, I didn't know much about it. I don't read a lot into players and things like that. I feel like I'm one of them, so I'm playing against you, or I'm trying to obviously be better than you if you're playing the same position as me. So I didn't know about him, but, man, when he stepped, just his knowledge in the film room, his understanding and experience, and then it's like you said, his pass rushing ability. I mean, he's teaching us, because that's one thing I feel like as linebackers here that that we could work on is pass rushing and getting to the quarterback more, getting more sacks and things like that. So that's something that he's definitely going to bring to the table.
We've had you in here for 5 minutes and nobody's asked you what you weigh today. Are you, how tired are you do you get tired of talking about that?
That's always going to be a conversation.
It is, right?
Even when I'm in my 12th year and I'm 230.
Right, you've been killing it. You got 10 Pro Bowls on
it's
your
like,
belt.
Hey, listen.
Don't be saying, can you hold up at this weight?
Yeah, can you still play? Is it good? I mean, you're getting older. Is the weight a problem now? So I feel like, you know, it's always going to be a conversation, but that's something I like. I love it. It's a challenge.
Did your size at all, did you find that was there a moment or two even where you just said, man, I do need to get bigger or stronger? I mean, you always want to be bigger or stronger, but I think, like you say, that if you can play, the number's the number as long as you're able to hold up, right?
Exactly. And I feel like never. I never question it and say, oh, man, I'm feeling too small or anything. I feel like a physical game was with the Texans, and then we played them 1 week and then came back like the week after and played them again, and I was like, let's do it. You know, it's another physical battle. And I felt like after I played those two physical games, and at the end of the season, I was actually lighter than at the beginning of the season, and that's when I was really flying around and made the most plays the last few games. So I was like, man, I could really play like this. So, you know, the weight, but I've actually put on a little weight. We're not going
to
talk about numbers.
I don't need to know the number, man. I don't care. That's what I said.
Just watch the action. Just watch the action. and watch the numbers and stats that
results
I put up.
Results-oriented.
Absolutely.
Exactly. Hey, the name of the game is make plays, baby.
Putting the weight aside, for you going from year one to year two, what were some of the things that you wanted to work on?
Just fundamentals. Just staying low. Because I'm a taller guy, so I mean, obviously, when you were in the box, I want to stand up and see over the line and try and see what's going on. But a lot of times, I got pushed around, and that wasn't even what you see guys that's 240, and that happens to them when you start playing high and things like that. So I wanted to start playing low and just to get a better understanding of what I wanted to do in the defense and how I can, you know, still be Telvin Smith in this defense, in this Bob Babbage defense. So it's, you know, I definitely feel like I've grown. And the coaches, they keep, you know, compliment me. But at the same time, I'm keeping my head down and running fast as I can.
What have you seen from Julius Thomas out there? Obviously, linebackers going to have on opposing teams, hopefully have their hands full with this guy this year.
It's like you just said, they're going to have their hands full. I mean, he speaks for himself. You know, a lot of times you hear about players, and then they come, and then you're like, oh, nah, that's, you know what I mean? But that's real deal. That's a real deal. And then I told him, I was talking to him yesterday, actually, and I was like, man, where you went? Because, I'll be throwing a national championship around. So I told him, I said, man, where you went to college in this? And he was like, nah, I was a ball player. I played basketball. And I was like, oh, so you just picked up football and went with it. He said, yeah. I said, man, I respect you. And to be at his level at where he at and come on the field and can catch anywhere on the field, you line him up anywhere on the field and send him on the route or whatever, ask him to block. I've seen him make some good blocks, too, so just all around great player.
Yeah, we don't need to make too many blocks.
Nah,
go catch a bunch of touchdowns, man. don't tell Gus I said that.
How much of a difference does it make for you guys out there as a defense just to have Puzlesny back in the middle as that linebacker and captain?
You know, that's our general right there, man. That we call him the Superman. That's Mr. Indestructible. So to have him back out there directing traffic, getting everything right, is great. But at the same time, as a defense, we're trying to grow where you don't have to have one player that knows everything. If each individual is out there talking, then you can take a little more off of him and he can actually play faster. And that's where we're trying to go. But, man, to have him back and to have him lining us up and just his presence, that's all it's about. A lot of players can affect the game many different ways. You know he going to make plays. You know he going to call it right. But just his presence gives you that confidence to say, okay, we got our mic. You know, I'm trying to earn that respect. Oh, we got our will. We got our D-line set. The secondary locking everything. Oh, we ready to go as a defense. Let's play ball.
You said the thing that maybe surprised you the most last year was just you expected to win more, right? As you look around, it's only been 2 years to compare, and it's only been a couple of weeks to see this group. Noticeably a lot more talent on the roster right now than what you played with last year?
I feel like every time is any team has talent. You know, it's the NFL. You got to have some talent to be here. Obviously, some players, you know, are marketed way heavier than others. But that doesn't mean a player that's not on his caliber is not, you know, as talented as him. He's just not getting publicized as much. So I feel like we always had the players, and we just got to come together as a team. And I was talking to Shaq Khan about it, and I was telling him, he was like, what more can we do and this and that? And I said, there's nothing more. The coaches, the owners, it's not on y'all no more. Y'all done gave us the playbook. Y'all give us facilities. Y'all give us all this new stuff. That's not going to change the team. So when the players decide that this is what we're going to do and how we're going to do it, that's when you're going to see the program take off. And that's what I see. The players are starting to step up in this organization.
Have you been on that yacht?
I have not.
He had a get together on the yacht. I didn't go that time. I missed out, man. They was taking pictures.
And he still talks to you.
Hey, he's a great guy. He don't hold grudges. He love you, and he gonna keep it going.
I do love it. That's a great anecdote, though. The owner of the team's coming to you as a second year player and saying, "What can I do to give you what you need to do your job better?" You know,
I mean, that was much respect. I was kind of speechless. I was like, what are you going to say to me? Am I getting cut?
I don't think you have to worry about that. I think you're good.
I was kind of shocked a little, but at the same time, that just made my confidence grow even more. It's not cockiness to say, oh, I'm this guy. My chest didn't go out. It's just my head went down to say, man, I'm truly blessed that I'm in this position where the head of this organization wants to know what my mindset is and things like that. So, you know, I was honest with him and told him, y'all can't do nothing.
Find the ball.
Exactly.
Had a fan on Twitter wanted me to ask you before we let you go. You guys are going to Tampa in week 5.
Yeah.
The Bold City Brigade has, that's right. The Bold City Brigade has sold 1,300 tickets. They're coming down in force. Don't know if you guys in the locker room were aware of that, but they just wanted to know how you feel about the Brigade coming down in force to Tampa Bay.
I mean,
it may be 2,000 by the time the game kicks off.
I mean, that's great. That we need it all. You know what I mean? We any type of support that we can get, we're going to love it, and we're going to thrive, and we're going to turn up.
Okay, are you looking forward to putting one right between the numbers on James?
Huh? Hey, you know, that's little brother right there.
Welcome to the big league.
We in the league now. I love it. I promise on everything. I want him to be as successful as he can be. But when he line up against the Jaguars.
Yeah, over 30 passes.
Are you a baseball fan this weekend?
I'm not a huge baseball fan. I'm really ready for the finals to come on tonight.
Me too, man.
I say the Cavs take game one.
Do you? I think the Cavs win the series.
I say they win it in six.
You think so? Six games? If they do, that would be winning it at home because they do play the 2-2, 1-1-1 now.
I say Golden State in seven just because someone's going to get their heart ripped out. With these two cities, Oakland and Cleveland.
Cleveland always gets their heart ripped out. So it seems. All right, Telvin Smith, big smile on his face. No surprise there. Beautiful family, man. We appreciate you bringing those guys by.
Of course, of course.
5-0 in the house.
In the house.
When Telvin Smith is here, man. We're going to see a lot of those 5-0 jerseys, I'm sure.
No doubt.
Out there, including open minicamp practice coming up on the 18th of June. Folks will look forward to that, man. Have a great year, okay? And continued success building towards that year.
Of course. I appreciate y'all for having me once again. And y'all go get the jersey. Show support, man.
Go pick up your 5-0. Telvin Smith, ladies and gentlemen. Get him. You can say I knew him before he became that breakout star in the National Football League. Good to see you, man.
Good to see you all, too. Appreciate it.
All right. Telvin Smith of your Jacksonville Jaguars here with us. Thanks to Alex Brooks and the folks with the Jags PR staff for hooking us up with Telvin coming off the practice field here. Love to see him. This is a great time, Tony, to see these guys kind of behind the scenes, hanging out with the family, bringing them out to practice.
Sure.
You know what I mean? It's a little more low-key than you'll get once you get to August. And this guy always has that infectious energy about him.
No doubt.
You know? I mean, it didn't take saying your jersey is very popular among Jaguar fans to put a smile on his face. The guy walks in with a big smile on his face. He realizes he's living the dream, and he's looking forward to taking advantage of it. As Brian Sexton, we asked him earlier today, what do you expect out of Telvin this year? He said picks, sacks, you know, big plays, disruptive. That's what he does. He is a guy, when you're out on the practice field, your eyes are drawn to number 50. So we appreciate Telvin Smith stopping by with us today to cap the show. Thanks to Brian Sexton for pinch hitting with a little OTA action earlier on in the program today. Johnny O will pop in back with us tomorrow as well. For Tyler Devitt, check him out on my Twitter feed. Tyler's got the buzz cut. I think he looks fine. Balls thinks he looks like a psycho killer. So, you know, probably somewhere in between, to be honest with you. He does have that glare going on, which does play into the straight to death row look a little bit for Tyler. So check him out on Twitter. That does it for us today. For Tyler, for Joe Fortunato, for all the aforementioned, for Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. Wrapping things up. Hey, let's get you ready for XL Primetime coming up next on 1010 XL 92.5 FM.